And for those of you attending live on the webcast, you will see a presentation coming up there now that will show just a little bit of information about more about Lara, more about Kim, and the ways you can connect with us. So I am going to get this thing kicked off in just a second. Bear with me. Hello and welcome to the Women What Mom Entrepreneurs Need Teleseminar Series. I am your host, Lara Galloway, the Mom Biz Coach. And with me today is Kim Reddington of Serious Women. And we are going to have a fantastic conversation today for about an hour talking about how to make a business out of a mom's passions and talents. And this is an area that Kim focuses her work in. So I'll let you hear a lot more about Kim and the work she's doing, but I'm very excited about this topic because it is, I've been hearing a lot of moms out there. I think maybe it's the timing of the new year, maybe it's the influence of the economy, but I'm hearing a lot of conversation out there on the online world and the offline world about moms that are thinking about starting a business and trying to figure out how to go into business and what to do. So we're going to have a great conversation about that today. So before I introduce Kim and get us all kicked off with the teleseminar today, I just want to remind you that you are able to listen in on any of these calls for free. The Women Teleseminar Series is all about what mom entrepreneurs need. I am dedicated as the Mom Biz Coach to helping mom entrepreneurs like you guys get what you need in terms of resources, tips, advice, business strategies, shortcuts, whatever I can do to support you, because I know that when you started your business, you might not have had all of this at your beck and call. I know I didn't. So I'm trying to provide this as a great space for you guys to get that information for free. So they are free, but to make sure that you are informed of what we're doing every single week, every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time is when we're hosting the Women Teleseminar Series. If you want to make sure that you catch up with all of the latest speakers and the topics that we're adding, we're still adding a whole bunch as we move into, I think we're scheduling about mid-year right now. We've got most of the spring handled so far. But if you want to make sure you catch up with that and also get the replay links, every call is recorded and the replays are free as well, then you just need to go and sign up for it at my website, and that is www.whatmomentrepreneursneed.com. Again, www.whatmomentrepreneursneed.com. And I will say one caveat. Bear with me, folks. I just converted my website to WordPress a day or two ago, and there are a few links that need to be fixed. So if you go there and you can't find it, send me a tweet on Twitter, and I'll make sure that I get it to you. My Twitter handle is MomBizCoach. Okay? All right. So I want to kick off the series today and introduce you to my guest, Kim Reddington. Kim, thank you so much for agreeing to be part of the Women Teleseminar Series today.
Oh, Laura, thank you so much for asking me. I feel honored to be on your show.
Well, ever since you and I talked that first time, as I've told you before, I really felt a connection with you, and I think that you've got a great presence about you and great business savvy in terms of what you're doing with your own business. And maybe you could just take a moment and, you know, share a little bit about you and the work you do so everybody knows a little bit more about you.
Well, my business is SeriousWomen.com, and Serious is spelled C-E-R-E-U-S. And Serious Women, I started about a year ago, but I've been an entrepreneur since 1995. And, I started about a year ago, and I just really want to be able to help moms to be able to stay home with their kids but still do something that they really, really enjoy. It's something that I was able to do. And I want to take a moment to just kind of explain how I got into Serious Women and, you know, where my entrepreneurship really began. I like to tell the story because it was something that was passionate for me, and it kind of fell into place, and I think it sometimes helps clarify with other people with how they can get started in a business. It was way back in 95. My son was about 15 months old, and I was working full-time, and it was just really difficult for me to be able to bring him to daycare every day. It just broke my heart. I made my husband do it, actually, because I couldn't do drop-off. I did pick-up. And, you know, I knew my son wasn't liking it. He wasn't happy with the whole situation. And I just felt like I was missing out on everything. I wanted to be home with him. And, you know, and this was kind of new for me because before I had kids, I felt like, oh, my God, I'm always going to work. You know, there's daycare. I'm just going to stick the kids in daycare and spend time with them when we're home. And I just really thought I was always going to work. I was a working person. And, you know, once you have that kid, everything definitely changes.
You know, I totally agree.
You just fall in love. And
it just rearranges your DNA, doesn't it? I mean, it's like
it does. I don't know. Your whole body, everything.
Yeah.
Your whole mindset is just shifted. And I didn't realize that. People tried to tell me that, but you don't listen.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I got to a point where, okay, I can't do this anymore. I have to quit. And, you know, we needed my income, so it was really a difficult decision, but it was something I just needed to do. And luckily for me, I was in a company where they did hire consultants. I was doing programming work, and they hired consultants, so I had worked out a deal with my boss where I could work part-time as a consultant, some of the hours in the office and some of the hours at home, and, you know, and quit the full-time employment job. And, you know, I was able to pick what hours I was going to work, what days I was going to go in. I even got to pick what my hourly rate was going to be, which was much higher than when I was an employee, which was one of, you know, the best benefit of all, was I was getting paid more per hour. So it was, you know, cut my hours, make more per hour, so it wasn't too bad. And it worked out great. And, you know, that was my first client. And that, you know, from there, I just kind of ended up evolving into having this whole freelance computer consulting business that I did for 13 years.
That's a long time.
It was a very long time. And it got to be too long because I, you know, I loved it. It was working out great for my family. It was working out great for me. But it did get to a point where I got sick of programming, I got sick of doing all that, and I needed a change. And it actually took me 3 years to figure out what I wanted to do next, because I wanted to completely shift where I was going. But I, you know, it's like, what is my passion? That, you know, that's where, what do I really want to do? What, you know, I was doing something that I loved. You know, how do you shift from that and do something completely different, which I did. I wanted to do something completely different. Mm. And that's, you know, when I was working as a computer consultant, it was a male-dominated field. I would go to networking meetings and be literally one of, like, three females in the room, and that could be difficult. And it was hard to, like, really relate to the people I was working with and things. So that was one of the things that I wanted to change, was I wanted to work with people that were more like me. Mm-hmm. And that's when it hit me one day. I'm like, you know what? I want to work with moms. I'm a mom. I work from home. I have a business, and I want to work with other people who are just like me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I can relate to them, talk to them about the kids, talk to them about my successes with the business, just have this whole community around other moms and people that can share with my experiences and understand what I'm going through and just really feel that connection. And that's when I really started thinking about, you know, I think it would be great if I could show other moms how to stay home, have a business, and do exactly what I had been doing for 13 years.
Mm.
And show people how to do that.
Well, I love what you're saying, Kim, and I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people that tune into this teleseminar series because, you know, you've like traveled the whole gamut. You went from working in a corporate environment, working for someone else, listening to them dictate your priorities, your values, your time off, your whatever, right? And then you broke out and started creating your own world as an entrepreneur, you know, setting your rates, accepting the clients, accepting the contracts that you would work on, which is a huge, huge step, right? Like figuring that out is where so many people that I've worked with get hung up right there. And but then I love that you've even gone a step further. And this is why I think you have so much to share with, you know, the people that are out there that are trying to figure out how to start their own business. You figured out that passion part. You figured that was missing beforehand. And yet you know that, you know, you just can't be woo-woo and love what you do. Like, you also actually have to, you know, create a viable business model and know how to wrap a business around something that you're passionate about. But I love, you know, you said this somewhere in one of your introductions, that passion is like the metal structure or the architecture of a building. If you don't have that support, then it'll fall apart or something like that. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that was pretty close. Yeah, you know, it's just like a building. You have that metal structure. If you ever see a building being built, they put the metal structure in first. And, yeah, I feel that passion is that metal structure. And if you forget to put that in, the second you start to build your building or your business, it's just going to crumble.
Yeah. And, you know, it may not be that every entrepreneur out there has to build their business with that in mind, with the passion piece. But I would venture to say, Kim, that is required for mom entrepreneurs, because I say all the time that, you know, for us, you know, we had a family. Our family is our top priority, period. Not negotiable. Family's top priority. But, it, you know, we love to work. We need to work, whatever that is, and hopefully both. Then when you are going to be away from your family, when you're going to choose to be away from your family, then it has to be purposeful work. And that's
absolutely
where the passion comes in. Yeah.
I think if people start a business and it's just something that they know how to do, they're not really passionate about it, they can be successful for a little while. Mm-hmm. I think it's in the long haul when things start getting overwhelming and, mm-hmm. you know, you're really trying to juggle the whole work and family thing. I think that's when people start to lose it if it's not what they're passionate about and what they really enjoy.
Yeah.
You have to want to sit down and do your work and take time away from your family and your children. In order to do that, you have to want to do that. Otherwise, it's going to just become like this chore, like, oh, my God, I have to go get this done, and I don't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be able to enjoy those moments, you know. And, of course, with any business, it's going to get hard. It's going to get overwhelming. And you are going to have things that you don't want to do. But if, you know, if the majority of it is something that you enjoy, it helps to tie it all together.
It sure does. It sure does. And, I feel lucky every day that I've found work that I love to do. And I just love that quote that says, you know, it's true for me. Find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. That doesn't mean I'm not a hard worker. It doesn't mean that I, you know, don't bust my tail to meet some deadlines like I'm trying to with launching my program right now. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It's just the fact that because you're fueled by your passion, it's enjoyable work, and it's actually really satisfying to do this kind of hard work. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some times where, you know, I'm not doing anything. It's like, oh, what should I do? And it's like, I will always go to work. It always, like, that's where I would prefer to be, mm-hmm. is doing my work. And it just, I'm always drawn to that. And I have a hard time taking time off because it gives me something to do when I go work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that can be the downfall, I think, of a lot of us, is the whole balance piece then becomes, you know, in jeopardy because you start loving what you do so much, right? But you know, let's talk about
it. Definitely is a problem with me, too. I definitely see that with myself.
I just tweeted about that last night, that, you know, you think that work-family balance or work-life balance is like an old, beaten-up, cliche kind of topic, but it's really not. It's really not. Like, I still discuss that as one of the top challenges of every single woman I coach. So it's not cliche. So let's just, you know, I think we're birds of a feather here, Kim, and we feel very similarly about how the passion piece can really, really be the key to success in growing a business that works for you as a mom entrepreneur. So, you know, why don't you give us some of your ideas about, like, how do you actually do this? Like, where does a mom start if she's thinking about starting a business? Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, well, I created this formula. It's called the 5-Step Moms in Business Success Formula. And it came about just from studying other mompreneurs and really watching what they do and how they get started and kind of tying that in with what I do. When, you know, when I was starting way back in 1995 and when I was starting Serious Women and everything. And the success formula is there's five steps, and the first step is just really getting to know yourself. So if we talk about this for a little bit, when you're getting to know yourself, you really need to know what your strengths are, like what are you really good at? And some people have a hard time with that. They're not sure what they're really good at. They come to me and they're like, well, you know, I'm just average. I'm just normal. I don't really have anything that's special or unique. And I have to disagree with that because I think everyone has a talent. Everyone has something that makes them special. And maybe you just haven't found out yet what that is. So I think you have to really dig deep inside yourself and find out what that is. And also with getting to know yourself, it's important to know what your dreams are and your goals. Like, what kind of lifestyle do you want for your family? What kind of lifestyle do you want for your children and for yourself? And that whole thing, that whole dream of what you want and what your goals are for your family need to be tied in with your business and the model that you choose for your business.
Got it. So knowing your strengths and talents and also the lifestyle that you want to have.
Right. And just what you want to do with yourself as a person. You know, where do you, when you're old and you're gray and you're retired and you're sitting on your front porch in your rocking chair, what do you want to look back on and say, you know, it would be nice to be like, oh, I did this with my life. Isn't that great? Wow, that was so awesome that I did that. And what do you want to have seen yourself doing? If you can look that far and ahead, that's really coming up with the full dream of who you are and what goals you need to fulfill in order to get there.
Well, I love that you start, though, with this talents piece, too, because so often, I mean, if you're thinking about when you're 90 years old in a rocking chair and looking back on your life, talents are not just things that you can do or that, you know, like, I mean, we can all do a lot of different things, but talents are like your special gift, right? And it just seems like it makes sense to, you know, to think about when you are old and you're looking back on the legacy that you're leaving, to think about how you honored the talents that you have, how you honored those gifts in your life, because these are special for you. It's not just something everybody can do. These are actually special to you. So I can imagine that gives a lot of purpose and a lot of satisfaction when you can say when you're 90 years old looking back like, wow, I really, you know, I lived into those talents. I really got to use those in my work.
Yeah, there's things that people do every day that they might not even realize is a talent for them. And something clicked with me, not in that I learned of a talent, but I learned, like, how other people can realize what their talents are. A few years ago, I was talking to one of my friends. Her name is Dawn, and she writes resumes for people. And, you know, they pay her quite a bit for a resume. And I know myself, I have always just written my own resumes and, you know, never really had much of a problem with it. And I was just talking to her and, like, you know, asking, well, why do people pay so much to have a resume written by you? You know, why, you know, what makes somebody hire someone to write a resume versus writing it themselves? And I was really just trying to dig something out of her here. And she had responded by saying that some people just don't get it. They don't understand how to do that. You know, some people, it just comes really easy, and, you know, they just start writing, and it looks fine. And other people, they start writing, and it's just all disorganized, or, you know, it just looks terrible, or it doesn't sound right, or whatever. And, you know, that just made me think that that's, you know, that's definitely, like, what happens. You know, the people who things, if something comes easy to you, that's a talent. You know, if it's something you don't really have to think about, you just go and you do it, that's a strength. Where other people, you know, they might be struggling with that. They might need help. They might be having a really hard time. And those are the people that you would be helping with your skills.
Well, I love it. And, you know, I don't know if I've shared this with you, Kim, but I talk about this a lot because I like to talk. that one of my talents is talking. You know, how silly is
that? Definitely, Laura. I mean, because I think it's amazing that you can get on one of these radio shows and not have prepared or anything, and then you just start talking.
Well, it is, and that's the thing.
That's a huge strength.
Well, it is, and I tell people, like, that's not the only way to do it. You can be a fabulous, you know, podcaster or talk show host or whatever with tons of notes and preparation and all that kind of stuff. That, you know, my style isn't the only way to do it, but I had no idea most of my life growing up. In fact, of course, I've been criticized for being a talker. I've been called a blabbermouth. I've been like, oh, yeah, she likes to talk, right? Like, that's a joke. And so I just want to point that out, Kim, because a lot of times what I find is that mompreneurs really undervalue their talents. We totally don't notice a strength or a talent for what it's worth. I finally realized it was a talent, and I've started looking for ways to maximize it. So, you know, if talking is a gift for you, how can you leverage that? If writing resumes is a gift for you, how can you leverage that? If hearing what someone's strengths are, like, you know, I have people who say, oh, you know, people just come to me and they tell me the craziest things, and they tell me that I'm the only person they can talk to like that. Well, okay, so maybe listening is a fabulous talent of yours. How can you leverage that? So why don't you go ahead through a bit more of your steps like that? Because I think that it's worth mentioning that so many people don't identify something that is a natural, easy thing for them to do as a talent or a strength.
Yeah, because the first thing that I have people do is there's five attributes to a person. And those attributes are your thoughts, your words, your actions, your connections, which are people, and your material things, the things you own and have. And so if we talk about those a little bit, what's really good here is if you sat down with five pieces of paper or a notebook and wrote an attribute at the top, and then on that whole piece of paper, just write down everything and anything that you can think of that is you. Because after you're done your writing, what you're going to want to do is look for patterns. Look for things that are similar. Like, where do you tend to lean towards as a person? What kinds of people do you tend to seek out and become connected with? So if we go through the attributes in a little more detail, the first one being thoughts. Your thoughts is everything that you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're negative or positive, all day long we're going through thoughts, and some of our thoughts are subconscious and some of them are conscious, but all of those thoughts make up who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's words, and there's two parts to words. There's all of the stuff that comes out of you, whether it's a spoken word, a written word, maybe you're on a video or whatever. Those are all your words, something coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the words that are coming into you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're listening to somebody tell a story, you're taking that story and you're hearing what you want to hear. People filter out what they want to hear. It's kind of like a camera lens. You know, you only see what's in the lens, and everything else around that lens you're ignoring and you're not looking at. I'll give you an example. You know, maybe there's five people in a room, and there's one person telling a story, and there's four people listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say it's a sad story, and there's some crying going on in the room. But the one person, you know, who's doing the most crying maybe, is hearing this sad story, and she's relating it to something that happened in her life. And she's hearing that story in a certain way because something happened in her life that is causing her to come up with all these thoughts and hear certain things about that story. And someone else, the person sitting next to her, isn't so emotional, as maybe something, that terrible thing hadn't happened to that person. So they're hearing different things from that story. They're getting different information from it and not taking it the same way. So those are the words that are coming into you and
mm-hmm.
how you hear certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third attribute is your actions, everything that you do, how you react to things, whether you react negatively or positively, how you take things in and what you what comes out of you. You know, do you react with anger? Do you react with happiness or sadness? And just everything that you do. And then the fourth thing is connections. And connections is just all the people around you, your family, your friends, the people that you talk to on the street, the people that you're connecting with on Twitter and Facebook, and just everyone that you're connected to. And I find that a lot of people, there's definitely patterns with who people connect with. And it's good to just really sit down and find out what type of people do I end up getting to know? Which type of people do I end up getting to know the most and become more intimate with versus people that I kind of keep to the wayside? Because the more you get to know who you hang out with and who you end up connecting with, mm-hmm. those are, most likely people that maybe you want them to be your clients because you have a strong connection to those type of people. And then the fifth attribute is material things. So it's like everything that you have and you own, the books that you have, the music that you listen to, the cars that you drive, the house that you own, those kinds of things.
Okay. And then so you add all of these up and?
So then you add all of those up and you just kind of look at them and you say, okay, where are the patterns here? What type of a person am I? Do I tend to be a positive person or a negative person? Do I tend to have thoughts that are, I need to really think about things, or, does it come more freely?
Mm-hmm.
And you just really want to look and you want to think to yourself, like, where have I been? What have I learned and acquired over the years?
Mm-hmm.
And what are my dreams and my goals? And where do I want to go from here? What are my next steps?
Got it. So you're taking the time to really write out, have people really do a strong self-reflection process is what you're asking them to do, and just in breaking it down into these different categories. And then once they kind of have that down on a sheet of paper and they can look at it and think about it, then you're asking them to start figuring out some things like what they want to do with that information, getting, once they know themselves, what they want to do in terms of getting into action around their dreams and their goals.
Right. Because
okay.
I think when you write things down, it helps to, like, solidify everything, and it helps you to see where things really lie. And I just feel like a lot of times when people write things down, all of a sudden just something just clicks in their head, and they're like, oh. And, that's the moment where all of a sudden you have an idea. And, it's not necessarily, it happens for different people at different times. Some people, when they start writing right away, they start coming up with all different ideas. And other people, it takes them a long time. They have to look at it and study it and maybe go through the exercise twice and really, look at their patterns and see who they really are before, something clicks. So it depends on the person. But yeah, Laura, you want to just look at who you are. You want to dig deep inside yourself. And then, you really just need to ask yourself a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you ask yourself a question, your brain automatically wants to answer it
mm-hmm.
without you even knowing it. It starts to answer the questions. So
Go ahead.
If you're asking the right questions, then your brain's going to start coming up with some answers.
Well, I love what you're saying, too, because I was just thinking that, what you talk about, the power of writing it down. Like, you've probably thinked, if you're thinking to yourself, listening to this, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I already know myself, whatever, let me skip this step. I just want to invite you to slow down and actually listen to what Kim's saying here, because I think there's such a power in visual reminders and the act of writing something down, that's an action versus just a thought. And so I know for me, when I write something down, there's a sense of ownership of it. Like if I write down, I am blah, 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 right? Or I want blah, blah, blah. Well, then I'm having an opportunity that's, like to really own that experience and to own that and to declare it. Like this is what's going to happen because I'm saying it sort of thing. So there's a lot of power in the writing it down piece. And then, I don't know, Kim, but, you know, the visual reminders of it. Like, if you've taken the time to write these down, then post it somewhere on a wall, you know, or on your mirror or something, and just look at it and read it for a while. Because, like you said, getting to know yourself, sometimes, like, getting to read that and really, like, take it in is going to be a great way to tap into, you know, some of that stuff that maybe you haven't paid enough attention to, because God only knows we have enough outside influences in most of our lives, you know, friends, family, the interruptions that, you know, come with raising kids. I mean, they're talking to you all the time. You don't have a full thought some days, you know. So I think it's really important to write things down, like you're saying, and really get clear on that so that you can take that next step about tapping into your business and creating a business out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you write things down, it kind of does something different to your brain. When you're thinking, your brain works a certain way, and when you're writing, your brain, like, it's working in a different way. So it's getting deeper into your brain and into your subconscious, and really, I think it just brings out more things in people. When you're writing, all of a sudden, other you get other ideas. Or if you're just thinking, your thoughts kind of stay in one area in what you're thinking. When you start writing things down, okay, now you've written it down, your brain can stop thinking about that one thought and move on to another thought. So you keep getting more and more thoughts that could lead to other places, where if you're just sitting there thinking, you're kind of staying on that one thought, and it doesn't really, you don't, the brain doesn't go in as many directions as if you write it down.
Got it. Okay, so this is, like you were saying, that you have a five-step process to help moms in business create a success formula, right? And this was kind of, we're kind of going over step one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I haven't skipped ahead or anything. So if this is the first, have we done the work of step one? Is this kind of what you want people to take away from step one, is that really getting to know yourself and an exercise of how to do that?
Yeah, and I think at the end of step one, you're left with several different things because, you know, getting to know yourself is like a stepping stone to all of the remaining steps in the formula. Mm-hmm. And so you're left with an understanding of what type of, you know, you don't yet have a business idea, but you kind of have an idea of where you might want to lead with your business and what kind of business model you might want to have. You understand, like, what kind of marketing you probably would be good at. You know, like, Laura, with you, the audio, it probably works great because you're great at speaking. Someone else might be better at writing and things like that. So, you know, you should be taking away from the exercise, like, what types of things that you're really good at and that you enjoy. I know some people hate speaking, so they refuse to do that, and they market in other ways. There's so many different ways to market. And
absolutely,
there's so many different business models. So, you know, you want to be able to understand yourself so that you can pick a business model that's going to work for you and your family and the lifestyle that you want to have and the goals that you have, because it's all tied together, and it all comes down to who you really are and what kind of business you want to have.
Got it. Love it. So does that lead us then to step two, once you get to know yourself and being really clear on seeing where your strengths and your talents are? What would you do as the next step?
Okay, step two is to develop and research your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure as you were doing all that brainstorming and everything, you came up with some ideas of things that you could look into, or like you just say, I love doing this. What could I possibly do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have these skills. I came up with them. I'm getting a better feel for what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. So just you're kind of putting it all together now.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to research what other people have done who have those same skills. You know, what are other people doing? Just really go out on the internet, go to the library, talk to people, go to networking meetings and see what people are doing there. And it'll help you to just, like, discover some new ideas,
mm-hmm,
and to kind of find what resonates with you and what doesn't resonate with you, and kind of, like, just researching what the market needs. You know, you've got this skill. What kind of problems are people having? Are you finding that people don't have that same skill as you, and it's something that you could teach them how to do?
Mm-hmm.
you know, what is your market willing to pay for? Because along in my journey, I found out that there are certain things that people struggle with every single day, but they're not willing to fix it. You know, they want to fix
exactly.
it, but they're not going to pay for it.
Right.
So you have to find out what are people willing to pay for that I can use my talents for. So you kind of that step two is really just researching all of that and putting it all together and coming up with something, with an idea. And it doesn't have to be the ultimate business idea. It just needs to be something to start with, a starting point with your research, because as your business grows, it's going to evolve into what works really well for you after you've really gotten to know who you are.
Well, can I just ask you, Kim, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, some different ideas that I think are so brilliant that some mom entrepreneurs I coach, and maybe you have some examples to share, too. You know, because I know this is something that the people I talk to, they come up with, but I don't know what. I don't even know what to research. And, you know, I was just going to say that, I mean, we're so lucky in this day and age to have the powerful resources at our fingertips, like, you know, like Google and Twitter. I mean, I do so much research about my target market, and I can literally, like, eavesdrop on their conversations via, you know, I don't mean that in a weird way, but just I can Google, you know, what are mom entrepreneurs saying about time management? What are mom entrepreneurs saying about work-family balance? I can just go research that stuff, and I'm going to read a bazillion blogs and a bazillion discussion posts and various forums. You know, I can learn so much out there. So I just want to share, like, you know, here's, you know, what a crazy idea. I have a client right now who, you know, took her love of planning parties, okay? She's a party planner. She's one of these women who's just extraordinary at taking care of all the details. And she's just got a natural gift for it. Well, that helps. You know, she's got four kids. And it's cool that she has figured out how to run a business where her business is all about creating themed children's birthday parties, include, you know, like she sends a whole party package of the costumes and the loot bags and the games to play and lots of directions and stuff like that. So she took an idea of something that she's really good at, and she figured out how to make that into a business. So I just, you know, I just want to give some, you know, words of inspiration and encouragement for people that are thinking, but yeah, well, I'm sure I've got some talents, but I just don't even have any clue how to parlay it. You know, if I can figure out how to make a living out of talking, you know, and
well, you are, you really are, though.
I am.
Your clients are coming from your shows.
That's right. Absolutely, they are. I get such a great response from this. So I am making a living at it. I'm not just doing it for fun. I'm actually making a living at it. And, you know, it involves a few other skills I have, too, but that's learning how to parlay a talent into something. And just like the party planning client, you know, she's learned how to parlay something that's really easy and a given for her. I mean, it the way her brain works is not the way my brain works. I could not do what she does, you know. So anyway, it's really important to stop sabotaging yourself and thinking that you don't have anything to offer. That's just self-sabotage, okay? And actually learning to think of your strengths as exactly that, your talents. And then, like you said, do this market research. Go do some Google searches and some searches on Twitter and just see what people are talking about, what their struggles are. Because like you said, Kim, I have had the same thing. Certain people have problems that they're not interested in fixing. So if you pick something nobody's interested in making better, well, then that's not terribly viable for you. So awesome.
Well, I have a lot of clients that come to me, and, you know, when we're talking and they're discussing, you know, different things, and we're talking about, you know, what they've done in the past and things that they enjoy and, you know, how they might be helping people already without even realizing they're helping them. You know, and they're telling me all these different things that they do and that they can do and that they enjoy, yet they tell me that they aren't sure what they
want. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently muted. To unmute all guests, press 9-9. For help with host options, press *0. You will now be connected with the conference.
Let me just had, come up with some ideas, and they leave the session with like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. I can definitely research that. That sounds like an awesome idea. You know, and then they go and see if it's going to be a viable market for them and things like that. But I think, you know, people kind of, they know, they kind of have a feeling and they sort of know what direction they want to go in. But sometimes I think you just need that extra push.
I agree.
Say, you know, that's fine. Go ahead, do that. Now, this is the next step. This is what you need to do now.
Well, and sometimes this is when, you know, and I mean, both of us being in this business is testament to this fact, but sometimes that's when you need a mentor or a coach or a third disinterested third party, but also some expert advice that somebody can say, okay, you know what, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, I have back in the day when I first started coaching out, I took on a lot of clients that, you know, really did not have viable business models. And as I was just getting my sea legs as a coach, it took me a while to see that. Like, wow, I don't know how this is going to work for you. And you know, sometimes, you know, what they needed to hear was just that. Like, you know, great idea, great strengths, great talent, but I'm not seeing a great way for you to put that into action. And, you know, really having somebody kind of walk through that with you because, you know, your head is a very lonely place. And if you have all these thoughts yourself and you're not trying them out and you're not getting some feedback, it can lead you down a, you know, a not so productive path or not terribly efficient path. So, you know, that's why I love the work you're doing, you know, with this whole market, Kim, because I think people do need a sounding board. I think they do need somebody who can ask them these questions and walk them through and say, have you thought about this, and how does this make sense, and how does it fit with what you're really committed to providing to, you know, to your target audience, to your clients? So.
Well, even, you know, the other day I had a client, and, you know, this is going in a different direction a little bit, but, you know, she came on, she thought she wanted to start a business, and she was trying to come up with some ideas, and we were talking about that for a little while, but the discussion kept going back to her to getting a part-time job, and should she get work part-time, you know, and it just the way the discussion was going, it really felt like she wasn't ready to start a business yet. Maybe she wants to, maybe that's like a long-term goal for her, but I don't think she was quite there yet. She financially, they needed the money, and just I think she needed the security of having, you know, the part-time job where she didn't need to look for the clients and she didn't need to spend the time looking for them. It just really didn't sound like she wanted to do that right now. Her kids were really little. And, you know, so I was kind of bringing up to her, I'm like, well, have you considered just getting a part-time job for another year or two and revisiting the whole, you know, business thing in a couple of years when your kids are older? And that's the direction she is heading now. She is going in that direction. She's, you know, looking for a job, and she is going to put the business on the back burner. She has a few clients that she's going to still continue with, but she's not, you know, actively looking for new ones at the moment. And I think she just really needed someone to say that. For some reason, she had this dream of doing a business, but it just seemed like too much work for her at the time, and she couldn't handle it yet.
Yeah, and that's great. And that, again, just that outside support and giving somebody permission, like to say, oh, maybe I'm not ready for that yet, you know? So I love that. I think that's really, really helpful. So what do we do once we've, you know, done a little research on our business and, you know, think that we've come up with a viable business model? What's the next step?
Well, the third step is to clearly define your message.
Okay.
And when, and you know, what exactly is that? Clearly defining your message. That's in, what exactly is your business going to be? You know, what is your new unique niche in the market? Who are you going to be marketing to? Who are you directing your message towards? You know, I think your message is one of the most important things for a business. You need to have it clearly defined so people know when you're talking exactly what you do. You know, you don't want to sound wishy-washy. You want to know, this is exactly what I'm doing, and this is how it's going to help you, and this is who it helps. Mm-hmm. And in order to come up with your message, you kind of have to go back to step one, where you are getting to know yourself, because your message has to resonate with you as well as the clients that you're going to serve.
Okay.
And if you're not comfortable with your message, you're going to have a hard time relaying that to people. And talking about it. because you want to be able to just talk. You want it to come out. You want it to come out easy. You want to know exactly what it is. So I think that really has to come from deep down inside of you. And some people have, you know, they struggle with that, with exactly, you know, how to take something that resonates with them, but it also sounds good to their clients and gets, mm-hmm. You know, attracts people to them.
And what, so for instance, let's share. I mean, why don't you share for the listeners what your message is? Because you did a lot of work around figuring out this for yourself. So what is your message that you use, Kim?
Well, I'd have to say that I'm still working on my message.
I think your message is great.
I think because it doesn't, I'm still trying to figure out with myself, like mm-hmm. that whole getting my message to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, but my message is just turning your passions and talents and skills into a successful home-based service business.
Yeah, I think that's a great message, you know. I mean, but and I want to just say this, too, that, you know, when we first, this is all we're talking to here today is people that are looking at starting a business. And can you be okay with the fact that you're going to tweak this as you go along? You don't have to wait until you've, you know, got this perfectly figured out to get started, right, Kim? I mean, like, you actually get to create this and tweak this as you go forward and as you get the, you know, feedback from your audience. This is an organic process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at even people making, you know, bazillion dollars, you know, millions of dollars on the internet and everything, you look at them, they're still tweaking their message and changing it. I think as their business grows and as they change, their message is changing. And mm-hmm. sometimes even I see people's target markets changing a little bit. And, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they're making their target market even more narrow to just tap into that special niche.
Well, I mean, I'm a case in point for that too, Kim, because, you know, when I started out coaching almost 5 years ago, okay, I coached anybody and everybody on anything, which, by the way, was not a lot of people, not a very successful business model. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, you know, declared the Mom Biz Coach name and niche and started building that brand. So that's an example of getting narrower. And then as I've gone on, like I've realized that it's gotten narrower again. And so really, you know, I've focused even more on coaching people that run services-based businesses or people who have, you know, mompreneurs who have a services component. So, you know, for instance, a friend that does, you know, a retail knitting shop, she also offers classes in knitting, you know, all sorts of different things like that. So I help her work on that services portion of her business and how it fits all together. But, you know, that's what I've learned is that, you know, if somebody is in a direct sales or MLM business, I'm not an expert in that. So I don't do that much anymore. I used to coach those people. I really don't do that much anymore. There are other coaches out there that have more experience and that are better at that. So I'm not attracting that as much in my business anymore because I'm not putting that out there. And, you know, I'm not attracting as many people that are product-based or retail-based stores because, again, what I've found is, you know, my sweet spot happens to be in services, right? So I am getting narrower as I go, and I'm changing my message a bit at a time. So I think it is an organic process, and if you are a mom who's trying to start out with your own company, you feel like you've got to have all this figured out, and you've got to have your perfect niche and your brand and your logo and your identity all figured out, you know, listen to us talking right here on this call and know that you don't have to do that to be successful. What you have to do to be successful is get started. And then if you're doing a good job listening to your target market, then you will most likely change, tweak, revise that message over time, right?
Right, and I think, you know, you can test your message too, because if you're not sure whether you want your message to be one thing or another thing, you know, try them both. See which one is coming out from you smoother, see which one is really resonating when you're writing and when you're speaking, and also which one is, you know, is your target audience really reacting to. Like you said, listen to your audience, because if you're saying a message and they're not reacting, you know, then it's probably not the right message. And maybe it takes a while for you to get that right message, but it's okay to test them out. It's okay to try different things. It's okay, you know, especially in the beginning, it's okay to change things around and refine it as you go. Mm-hmm. And it could take a few years, you know, for, like you, Laura, like you said, you know, you're still kind of even making your niche even narrower. I think as you learn more and more about your industry and the longer you're in a business, you learn certain things over time. And those are the kinds of, you know, niches and areas that you're going to make yourself more narrower towards.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's okay to be a little more broad and, like you said, not a perfect message in the beginning, because you're going to test it as you go, and things are going to evolve as you learn different things and as you hear things from your clients and stuff
yeah.
like that.
And I just really think that's a great message. I think people need to hear that to know that it's okay to figure it out as you go, you know. So, all right, so once we've gotten our message figured out, that's step number three, right? So what is the next step in the process?
Well, step four is to create your solution or your service that's going to help your clients. What problems is your service going to solve? What process are you going to take your clients through to solve their problem? You know, is your service going to be ongoing or a temporary thing? And how best are you going to help them? You know, there's different ways and different models to help people, and what way is going to be for you. So that's really listening to your clients in this step and really understanding, how to help them. You already know about yourself. Now you really need to get to know your clients and ask them what they need, ask them what their problems are and the best way that they are going to learn, and how can you turn what you know into a service or some solutions that is going to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. I love how you're talking about the problems that they have, because I did a teleseminar, or maybe it's just one of my audio blogs on Blog Talk Radio, but I did a show about, you know, something I learned from Adam Urbanski, and he talks about making, you know, creating your offerings in your business as painkillers rather than as vitamins, right? And I love that distinction, because what he's talking about is, you know, vitamins clearly improve your health. They make your life better, right? We
mm-hmm.
all know that they're good for us and we should take them. But we often don't do the things that we should do. And I think this gets back to a point you made earlier, like you may have a problem, but you don't do anything about it, right? Whereas if you create your offering as a painkiller, right? This will solve your pain. This will solve your problem. Well, when we have a pain, we do what it takes to get rid of it.
You run to that drugstore and get the painkiller.
That's it. I mean, the vitamin's sitting on the shelf. Oop, I forgot to take that today, but man, I've got a migraine, right?
Yeah.
So give me a painkiller as a business offering. Show me how what you do is going to solve my pain, and I'm going to buy it. Right,
that's a great analogy.
Well, it's not mine. I keep talking about it. Adam Urbanski is, you know, probably hearing his name all over the place. But anyway, I just think that, you know, what you're talking about there, you immediately put the entrepreneurs that are out there that are thinking of starting this business, you immediately put that idea out there. What solution are you going to solve for your target audience? Right? You didn't say, how are you going to make them better? Nope. What problem are you going to solve? Because problems are pains, and we pay to get rid of those. And that's just a really valuable way to start, again, to really push a mom who's thinking of starting a business into thinking of, okay, how can I make this viable? Well, part of the way you can make it viable is creating things that people want to buy, things that will sell. And a great way to do that is make sure that what you create solves a problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. Great. All right, we have about 7 minutes left in our show today. So do we have enough time for you to kind of tell us a little bit about step number five?
Yeah, step number five is marketing your service. And this is really the area that you're going to spend the rest of your life of your business in. You're going to be marketing forever. The book that I really like to tell people to read is Guerrilla Marketing by J. Conrad Levinson. This is the best marketing book I've ever read. It just covers so many low-cost, high-impact strategies that can take your business anywhere. And any level business can use guerrilla marketing. And I think the biggest thing that people need to remember when they're marketing is remember who you are and use the strategies that are going to work for you. you need to find a balance between what you're good at, what your skills are, where your passions lie, and balance that with what your clients need from you and where your competitors are. Because
mm-hmm.
You also need to look at, when you're marketing, you need to be where your competitors are too. Otherwise, they're going to take all that market share, and you want some of that. So you kind of need to find a balance there between all of those different things. And the other thing with marketing is, like, once you pick the strategies that you're going to choose, pick mm-hmm. a few, get really good at those and learn how those are working for your business and refine them and be consistent with them. Just do them consistently on a regular basis. You know, don't go sporadic with it. Just be really regular, and that is where you're going to see the most long-term results.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I'm living proof again of that one, too. So I love how we can talk about what you're saying to do. And I just want to share with the listeners today that this is what worked for me. I mean, I chose Twitter. I chose one thing. And, by the way, the thing that I chose to market my business was a free option. It uses my time, right? Which, when we're starting out as entrepreneurs, most often we have more time than we have money. So I didn't do everything. I didn't do advertising. I did not do any other form of marketing whatsoever. I've never paid for marketing. I like to remind my listeners of this, Kim. You know, I've never paid for any marketing. I chose one thing, and I really maximized my presence there. And, you know, I think this is a really powerful message that, you know, for other people, you can do this too. You can choose a free way to get your name out there and do your marketing, and it still works. But it takes, you know, pretty regular daily, you know, dedication to doing it that way if you're going to choose a free option like that. So, you know, and do you have some other good ideas for, you know, marketing that you have seen have, you know, given good results for your clients or for yourself, Kim?
I really think that, like, you know, there's so many different ways to market. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of ways to market your business, and many of them on the Internet are free. And I think there's also, like, a balance. I think people should be marketing offline and online. I mean, you know, that it depends on your business, too, I guess. There's some online businesses that maybe you should stick just strictly online, but a lot of businesses, I think you should be in both areas. It kind of just gives you a different market and mm-hmm. things to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But to pick, like, really good strategies, I think if you're going to be on the Internet, you know, writing articles or, like, what you're doing with the teleseminars, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, Blog Talk Radio. It could be any teleseminar or, you know, any video or video blog or whatever. Just, you know, pick one or two of those things and really get good at those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really learn everything you can. Learn how to do the search engine optimization with that, and you picking keywords for your titles and how to name things and what to write about, and make sure that your message is part of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're writing an article, it really, your message should be in there somehow, you know, with what you're telling the people. It should coincide with what your business really is.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I think the key is just it really consistency. You can't just, you know, you can't write articles for 1 month and then do teleseminars for another month and then do videos the next month. You have
That's
to
so
pick
true.
One or two and stick with that. Stick with it for a full year and really refine it and get good at it, and you'll see at the end of the year, you'll see major changes happening with the number of, you know, the traffic and the clients and everything that you're getting.
Mm, that's so true. Well, I think you've given a great, great overview of the five steps to giving a mom some sort of architecture to start taking this, you know, tiny idea that they have, like, I think I want to start a business, and figure out how to go from that point to actually launching that business and launching it as a viable business model that, you know, will take them forward and bring them the satisfaction and get the results that they want from that business. And, you know, I think there's no limit to what you can do out there as a mom entrepreneur. There's no limit, but it does help to have some ideas of some things that do work, some strategies to put that into, a process to put that into, like you've described today, is so, so helpful. So I really appreciate what you shared today. I think it's been really high value.
Well, thank you, Laura. Thank you for having me.
Well, I would love it if you wouldn't mind, Kim, just sharing, you know, maybe your website and some of the programs that you have to offer, so that people who want to find out more about what you're doing and the kind of help that you provide to mom entrepreneurs, how would they find you?
Well, my website is seriouswomen.com. It's Serious is spelled C-E-R-E-U-S. And right now I have a new program that's been doing really well. It's called Profit with Passion Program. And every month I'm interviewing a different mom entrepreneur expert to find out how she took her passions and talents and turned them into a successful business, and how what she's learned can help us to be able to do the same. And so each month you'll get an audio of the interview and a printed newsletter, and the newsletter just really talks a lot about, you know, giving more details about the topic in the audio, and it includes a worksheet on how you can take what you learned and use it today and apply it to your own business and your own situation.
Mm. So this is your Profit with Passion program, and can they find a link to the Profit with Passion program on your website?
Actually, the best way to go there is to type in profitwithpassion.seriouswomen.com, and again, serious is C-E-R-E-U-S, so profitwithpassion.seriouswomen.com.
Okay. Yeah, because I think you've got such a great thing, and I know I love the mixture of inspiration of other moms who've been there and done that with the tactical steps that it sounds like you are providing in your program. I think that's brilliant because, you know, once I get inspired, then I need somebody to give me, you know, that focus so that I can get in action and give me that plan to go forward. So, yeah, I think you've done a great job putting it together. I think you're filling a very, very big need for a lot of moms who, in this economy, with all the downsizing that's been going on with partners, spouses getting laid off or getting, you know, cut back in pay, there's so many mom entrepreneurs going into business right now. And I think, you know, if you're out there on the fence trying to figure out how to go forward, that Kim's Profit with Passion program is going to be a great place to start. So, Kim, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Laura.
All right, guys. If you want to find more about Kim, you can go to her website. That's SeriousWomen, C-E-R-E-U-S-Women.com. She's on Twitter. Her handle is Kim Reddington. That's K-I-M-R-E-D-D-I-N-G-T-O-N. You can find out more about her there. Please connect with her and tell her thanks for being on our show today. I know we have so many people that get out there and tweet for us. So I want to thank you for spending the last hour with us here on the Women What Mom Entrepreneurs Need teleseminar series. We've got another guest coming up next week. Please go to whatmomentrepreneursneed.com and sign up so that you can get a replay of the webcast today if you missed it, and so that you can get the directions for the next free call that we have coming up next week. And, we'll include some links for getting to know Kim a little bit better if you're interested in her Profit with Passion program as well. So until next time, I'm your host, Laura Galloway, the Mom Biz Coach. You can find out more about what I do at mombizcoach.com. Until next time, take care.